BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Andy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match, and then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No, world tag team champions of the world.
That's redundant.
It's totally not redundant. We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World tag team champions of the world. Hashtag it, everybody. You'll see.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that.
And it's whichever like two worlds you want to choose, it's up to you.
Like, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
The world is a vampire. Sent to drain. Secret destroyer. Hold you up to the flames. And what do I get for my pain? Betrayed.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com, and, of course, MemLamePromo.com. Go there for all your merchandise needs, because they've got some awesome stuff. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host, Sir Rockin.
Yes, I am here. I am here. I'm ready to have some fun tonight.
And, of course, we have the awesome Aussie Mace, who's only here for a short time.
Yes, I'm only here for a short time, but it's going to be a good time. By the way, it's not Sir Rockin', it's Slapnuts.
That's right, we established this last week, he's Slappy. And of course, I'm your host, Lindsay, in case you didn't figure that out. If you've never listened to the show before, hi! So yeah, you know, because in the first 5 minutes I've completely botched the intro. Yeah, it's going to be good night! So, how's everybody doing?
I'm doing pretty good, how about you?
I'm watching Brooke Tessmacher jiggle her ass, and I'm not okay with it.
Oh, so, that's what you watch on a loop, so we're good.
Okay. Anyway.
Oh, wait, no, that's what
sorry.
That's what Spug watches on the loop.
Is Brooke Tessmacher hiking up her tights and jiggling her ass?
She's eight? No, she, no, maybe not. Anyway.
Anyway. Come on, Tara, get her! Sorry, in case anybody doesn't realize, I have class on Thursday nights, and so I miss the first hour of Impact or so I have to go back and watch it so we can do our review of it.
Yes.
So you may hear random comments because I didn't get it all done before the show. But we have a lot to talk about tonight.
Yes, we do. We have a lot to talk about, and a lot broke as we were coming onto the air tonight.
It did. But before we get to that, we got something else that broke. We got our question of the night.
All right, our question of the night. Tonight's question of the night is simple as this. If WWE had ice cream, what would the flavors be called? Simple as that.
So think on that, people. Put it in our chat room or send it to us on Facebook, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork and at Wild Talk Radio.
Yes.
So we've got breaking news.
We have breaking news. Apparently tonight during Bellator, Jeff Hardy has re-signed with TNA for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah.
And as you can hear, no shit was given by all.
I'm sorry. No offense to TNA, but Jeff Hardy just does nothing for me. I'm happy that they re-signed him. Congratulations to them that they did it. But with them being over in England, is it wrong to say that I really haven't missed him?
Because they do such extensive updates on him during the show.
They do.
Well,
nothing's torn.
Because they've been building new stars and building, you know, current stars when a world champion's not around. It's refreshing.
It's nice that they're not relying on the same old people, which is good. And by the way, Wes, oh my God.
The other news that came out of Bellator, which is why they re-signed Jeff Hardy, is because they're going on the road and they've announced a few more dates.
Have they?
Yes. Let's pull up this little spreadsheet we have, or notepad thingy. They're going to Jonesboro, Arkansas, at the Jonesboro Arena on March 28th. Tickets go on sale on the 26th of this month. They're returning to, I don't know if they're returning to, but they're going to Corpus Christi, Texas, at the American Bank Center on 4/11. Tickets go on sale on the 25th of March. And they're at the Gwinnett Center in Duluth, Georgia on 6/6.
Oh, cool. I know where that is.
So TNA is coming to your area slowly but surely.
Come to Salt Lake.
Well, they have May and the rest of April and May to get to, so.
Yeah. But preferably before I move, come to Salt Lake.
Oh.
But
if they can.
If they can, yeah. If you can come before I move, that'd be greatly appreciated. Not that it's a luck that I'm going to move, but I'm going to try my damnedest to move. But that kind of leads to another news story.
Does it?
Supposed rumor going around that, well, WWE doesn't like this announcement that TNA's going out on the road.
No.
In fact, supposedly, WWE is trying to lock TNA out of a couple of arenas.
Yeah, they are. Give me a moment, I can tell you exactly which ones they're running. I know it's one in Ohio that they've locked them out of. But I can't remember the other one. And the big thing is, people are really curious that they're actually running these buildings, because WWE never runs this type of buildings.
They blocked them out of Fairfax, Virginia, Cleveland, and Broomfield, Colorado.
There you go.
So Spug will never get to see TNA in his hometown. Aww. I'm sure he's so disappointed.
Well, I think he might be, because he's actually enjoying the product lately.
He won't get to see the fabulous ladies. Like Tara, who just, boo, lost, boo.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
I have to go cry now, but I'll do it after the show. With this move,
it's sort of a good news, bad news situation. Like, it's good for WWE to be trying to take on new arenas, and, well, technically it could be also seen as new markets as they go into the sort of smaller, medium-sized arenas. But at the same time, it's a fucking dick move. It's financial bullying at its finest.
I know for a fact that Broomfield is going to be a house show. I know that one for a fact.
Yeah, these aren't going to be TV tapings. These will be house shows.
Yeah, but also if they get put in the contract for arena, which has also been going around, that WWE have been doing these by also adding in a no-compete clause to the arenas, which means within a certain time before or after the WWE runs even a house show there, TNA are not allowed to use that arena.
But this is not news that WWE has been doing this forever, including Madison Square Garden, which WCW could never run because WWE had exclusive rights to Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, right. I understand that, and I can understand the business move behind it. You do not want a competitor going into an area where you've just been and using your current, you know, good reputation in that area to help sell the tickets. But at the same time, the fact that they've gone from doing their usual bigger stadiums and arenas to scaling themselves back on purpose to something that only TNA would run to tape Impact in is the part that I see as financial contractual bullying. It's using your manipulation of the market to keep a competitor from gaining a foothold.
It can be, but here's the flip side to that. You have someone like, let's say the SmackDown brand as it currently was. They've been having trouble selling out house shows. So is this WWE blocking TNA? We're using them saying they're blocking TNA as a cover for low ticket sales, so they're going to a smaller venue next go around.
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah, I mean, it seems a little convenient that WWE is starting to do this now. And it could be a crazy random happenstance that this is all happening, and TNA says, oh yeah, we're going to go out on the road and we're going to hit these places, and WWE's like, oh yeah, we're going to downsize our house shows. And we're going to slap that no-compete clause. We're going to enforce it. And, yeah, I have to kind of agree with Mace. It's a dick move.
Oh, cool.
It really is.
Oh, it is.
It's like they won't acknowledge TNA's competition. And on a lot of levels, again, no offense, TNA, they're not. They will never be on WWE's level as far as probably production or marketing are concerned. Unless they get some serious inflow of cash, and then we'll talk about it. But TNA is just as good as WWE in every other respect, and I'm sorry, that's true. Their wrestling is actually better. Their talent, in a lot of respects, is better. And so for WWE to be like, oh yeah, screw you, we're going to take your arenas, is just bullshit.
Yeah, it's also, you can also look at it in this area as well. When it comes down to business, especially a very, very diminished market that wrestling has become for business reasons, when you have the monopoly of being the biggest and pretty much only name in the world that is, credible, you don't want to give up any market share. So doing something like this is WWE protecting that monopoly.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, which is, I don't like it personally because I love the days of the competition, but I understand from a business standpoint that when you had WWF and WCW both buying for the market share, that the money that was being spent versus the money coming in, it was probably a lot less than what it has been now. So it's within the WWE's best interest to do stuff like this in order to keep that monopoly, to keep that market share, and to keep their profits.
Right.
But it still doesn't disqualify from just being a fucking dick move.
I think we're all in agreement. It's just a dick move on WWE's part. It's just like, really, y'all? Although if TNA is smart, which I'm sure they're going to do this, they stay the hell away from WWE when they're on a specific side of the country. WWE and their touring schedule, they specifically like to stay in the East Coast, around the Northeast, and the Midwest. That's where they like to stay. They'll hit the South a couple times a year. They come out West once or twice a year. So, I mean, it's... If TNA is smart, they'll come out West when WWE is East, and then they'll go East when WWE is West, or vice versa.
Right. And at the same time, WWE is doing the same thing with UFC. They've pulled this stunt with them as well.
Oh my god. Follow Will Wheaton's number one rule, WWE, don't be a dick.
Well, that's what they do.
I know.
But to tie this all together, if you want TNA in your hometown, they have a new campaign, a new social media promotion campaign, asking you, the fans, to pose in front of your city landmarks, holding up a sign that reads hashtag #WeWantImpact, and then post them on the Twitters as a way to bring TNA to it, bring a TNA taping to your market.
Oh, crap. I don't want to drive all the way downtown. That's just too damn far.
Well, if you want TNA to be there, you're going to have to do it. Take the picture.
Fine, I'll go find an LDS church and I'll do it. Can't swing a dead cat without hitting one anyway. I think there's two up the street, so... But yes, yeah, so anybody who wants TNA in their hometown, which I want to see them here, if nothing else, just to get James Storm and Wes Briscoe.
And just keep them in Utah forever.
Yeah, you know, have a sandwich. then go ahead, follow the social media campaign, get a picture of your famous landmark with the sign, we want TNA.
We want Impact.
We want Impact, and do the hashtag and tweet them.
Yes, because if you do hold up a sign that says, we want TNA, that, and especially in Utah.
They wouldn't know what that meant.
Well, true, but it would get you very many dirty looks.
I already get dirty looks.
I know.
It's my favorite thing in the world to scare the Mormons on Sunday morning. You have no idea how much pleasure it gives me to blast CeeLo Green as I'm driving down the highway at about 8 o'clock in the morning. It's fantastic.
Now, staying with TNA, because there's a lot of TNA news this week. TNA
well, it just goes right over that.
What am I supposed to say? Anyway. don't worry, I have it covered. Anyway, speaking of TNA and TV shows and stuff, they're bringing back Reaction.
They are?
It's going to be now an online series on YouTube. It's going to be an hour-long post-game show, so TNA Reaction is coming back.
And they're embracing the YouTubes, mm-hmm. not the pouts, the YouTubes.
They're embracing the YouTubes, which if you remember, they have been, especially when they did the actual live post-game show. Which mean it makes enjoyed just about every week because you would actually
pretty much.
You would get actually Christopher Daniels and Kazarian on there a lot.
Yeah, and they were entertaining as hell too. That's where hashtag the World Tag Team Champions of the World was born.
Yes. So yes, look forward to TNA Reaction coming back this February. I guess this month. Sorry, February. So it should be starting maybe next week, I think. More details to come.
More details to come. Yes. Yay! But speaking of TNA, since we'll just stay on this kick.
Might as well. What else are we talking about?
There's news about the gut check.
Gut check. What's going on?
Well, as everybody knows, TNA was running a contest for gut check where they were going to have indie wrestlers and you could vote for them. Unfortunately, though, the voting has been suspended mainly due to the interest of fairness. There were complaints of rigging, there were complaints of misvoting, shenanigans galore, and so TNA said no more. They're actually suspending the voting for the time being until such time as they can come up with a foolproof system to allow the fans to vote for their favorite indie wrestlers and get them on gut check.
I don't think TNA was ready for how many fans, you know, some of these guys actually have.
Right, and I think that was part of the problem.
Yeah, you know, wrestling voting rigged, never happens.
Hey, you know what? Monday night was legit.
Monday night was legit. And that screwed up all our plans.
So go the fans, screwing up the plans.
Yeah, if you have indie wrestlers on Facebook like I do, and I know Lindsay does. I don't know if Mace does. Do you, Mace? Yeah, you do. You might? Sort of?
I got Cassidy Riley and Johnny Devine. That's about as far as I go.
Okay, and I don't think they were promoting it, but I have some that were promoting it daily and constant, like Ravenous Randy, and Kamikaze, who you'll see this Saturday night on Canadian All Pro Wrestling. Go to the CanadianAllPro.com and get your tickets now, or watch it with us live on Saturday.
Dude, wait! I just figured it out. That's how we get Mace to the States. We put him in the gut check voting.
Sorry, don't have the body for it.
Get yourself a copy of DDP Yoga and go.
I have a copy of DDP Yoga. I just lack the motivation.
You want us to get him on here so he can motivate you?
No, I'm right.
But think about perfect. We vote you in, they bring you over, you would already be in Florida, you could just show up at Omega's.
And then I can get interviewed by Ellen on Tuesday.
Be kind of an obligation then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's a foolproof run, and then, you know, once you do all that, you just, you know, conveniently hide in Omega's faux basement until such time as they stop looking for you.
If he maybe he can just sit on Omega's shelf. He has a little tiny space left.
Oh, no. No, he has plenty of space. I know all of Omega's hiding places, trust me. He has plenty of space.
Okay.
Again, he just glosses right over it.
What?
I just love you don't transition into it. Well, okay, fine, I'll transition to it. Speaking of dirty things, or semi-dirty things, or allusions to dirty things, WWE cannot make up their mind whether they want to call WrestleMania next year WrestleMania 33-0 or WrestleMania Triple X.
Hey, I didn't have that on my rundown. What do you want from me?
You don't have PW Mania up? You're not getting this directly from the source? What's wrong with you?
No, I'm going through our notes.
We love you, PW Mania. I love you. The yes. Producer, so much.
Hey, I did my prep beforehand. Anyway, continue.
There is debate among WWE as far as whether they're going to call it Triple X or WrestleMania 30. The main reason why they don't want to use Triple X is because of the obvious pornographic connotations.
I think they're actually leaning towards it. I think they're actually leaning towards using Triple X as the number.
Well, you know Vince is. You totally know Vince is.
The return of the genetic jackhammer.
WrestleMania Triple X. Especially if it's in New Orleans. Oh my god, that would be epic.
If there was any time to return to this TV-14 product.
That would be it.
But yeah, Triple X, WrestleMania. Yeah, if you think about it, WrestleMania 10 was WrestleMania X, and WrestleMania 20 was Double X, so...
I don't think they thought that out when they did this. You know, I think they were just, oh yeah, we're going to use Roman numerals, and it's going to be awesome, and blah, 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 and then they get to WrestleMania 30, and they go, oh crap.
Well, they had the chance to ditch Roman numerals when they went to WrestleMania 2000, because that was such a great idea.
We won't talk about that.
Not going to talk about that?
We're not going to talk about that.
That's our Taboo Tuesday?
Taboo Tuesday.
Not supposed to talk about that.
Is it Taboo Tuesday or Taboo Turkey Day?
She broke the producer.
Only one person is going to get that reference, and he got it.
Continue before I die.
I don't even know what the hell we were talking about. Anyway! So yes. Pornographic commentations, WWE is debating. Personally, I want them to go with Triple X just for the jokes alone. And for the porn parodies that will follow. Just like when they do have WrestleMania LIX, as Omega pointed out, they're going to have WrestleMania Licks. Again, porn parodies galore and jokes galore.
Yeah, they're talking about it in the chat room that the plan they're planning. The news came out courtesy of the Wrestling Observer. That the plan for SummerSlam is to do Brock Lesnar and The Rock. Or maybe not even that, have them involved.
Well, I can almost promise you Brock Lesnar will be involved in SummerSlam in some capacity. That goes without question.
It's more getting the People's Champion, the WWE Champion, involved.
Well, I mean, honestly, you could do that. You could do a Rock-Brock feud. you have Rock beat up, or Brock beat up Rock and send him away for a few months and then he comes back.
Yeah, but I don't think SummerSlam's the right time for that, but that's another debate for another day.
Yeah, when we get, if it actually happens, which it may or may not, I mean, I'm sure they do want them there. That goes without question, because it's in, one, it's in L.A. again this year, so if the Rock's there, that will definitely get them over.
That's why they want the Rock. They want Brock, they want the Rock there for the Hollywood tie-in. And they're triggering, going a whole big push for it. So, that's the plan there.
No, I don't know if I would have Rock wrestle. Brock, again, I don't know.
That sounds like a Mania matchup to me.
Well, it was a Mania matchup 10 years ago.
No, it was a SummerSlam matchup 10 years ago.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see?
SummerSlam from Long Island, when Brock Lesnar won the WWF Championship, and it was the night Shawn Michaels returned to face Triple H.
Oh, that was a great match.
Yeah, oh my god. Triple H and Shawn Michaels that night. One of the greatest matches of all time. But I'm biased because I'm a Shawn Michaels mark.
Well, we're all kind of biased. But
yes, we are.
Because Shawn Michaels is God, essentially.
He is.
And also, backstage news on the Elimination Chamber, the reason why the six-man tag between The Shield and Sheamus, Ryback, and Cena, which, by the way, if you haven't heard, that's on, isn't going to be inside the actual chamber. It's because it would be an elimination match, and WWE doesn't want to eliminate five of their hottest superstars right now.
Correct.
So, that's why it's not going in the chamber. I think it'll be better in the chamber, or, I'm sorry, outside of the chamber.
You can protect your guys better without having them take pinfalls, especially The Shield.
Right. We don't need Seth Rollins taking any more bumps to the head.
No. Because I can imagine him wanting to go to the top of the chamber and being yanked down.
Yeah. And, again, we don't need Seth Rollins taking any more bumps to the head. The poor deer can't take any more.
Or it could be the Ryback charging him through the unbreakable glass.
The unbreakable, quote-unquote, unbreakable glass that everybody has broken every year.
Yeah, I should have said, I did the air quotes, unbreakable glass.
Although my favorite year was when Kane used Rey Mysterio as a lawn dart.
And just went boing.
Yeah, and he just bounced him off the glass. That was fantastic. Especially his face. That was amazing.
That's Rey Mysterio's signature move, being thrown into something, just bouncing right off.
Rey Mysterio is a lawn dart.
Yes. Thank you, Kevin Nash.
You're welcome. Let me get a little drunker and I can probably imitate him.
Gotta sip that red wine.
Yeah, I gotta sip that red wine. Hope I don't tear caught on the way to the kitchen.
He did a shoot interview where he did it with Kayfabe Commentaries, the U Shoot. Go check it out at kayfabecommentaries.com. Where they do a whole segment of just about wine, and sniffing the wine, and talking about what makes a good wine. And he shook the wine around, and does all those motions. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, so go check it out at Kayfabe Commentaries.
Yeah, I've heard clips of it, and I've seen snips of it, and it's like, one, no offense, he kind of comes off a little douchey, but it's hilarious at the same time.
He's drinking the entire time. And they do another segment where he's teaching Sean Oliver how to pick up a girl. At a bar.
Oh, dear me.
So, if you need something to watch, go purchase it at kayfabecommentaries.com.
So, but speaking of Brock, to kind of go back a little bit.
Okay.
There's a rumor going around that coming for the summer or the fall, which, by the way, we called this, would be Punk versus Brock Lesnar, which is no surprise to anybody. I'm more curious that with more rampant rumors about The Undertaker's health and the fact that he may or may not work Mania, because we still have no idea.
Yes, they're still waiting for him to say, okay, I'll do it.
To which Lindsay says, make up your goddamn mind!
His friends hope he doesn't.
Well, he's scheduled to be there, so if he's not going to wrestle, then they need to either have somebody else take that interview or that autograph session he's going to do, or they need to figure something out for him.
Yeah, they do. But anyway, continue.
I'm just curious. Do we think that that's going to get pushed up as far as Punk versus Lesnar? Any?
No.
No.
I would save it for SummerSlam if that's the direction to go, and I even think that's too early.
You would save it for Mania?
Yeah, because it's too early to turn them both.
Right.
And, you know, if you're turning Brock, you gotta keep Punk heel, so that's, I don't see Brock as a babyface yet. They gotta build to that. He hasn't been back long enough for him to be turned.
They're going to have to do something interesting to turn Brock babyface.
Yeah, and the easiest way is something with Heyman.
Right, have him turn on Heyman.
Right, or Heyman turn on him. Either way.
Either way, yeah, either way it works.
But it's way too early for that.
Exactly. But you know what's not too early? You know what's a long time coming?
What's that?
Bruno Sammartino is going in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yes. Yes, he is. The great Bruno Sammartino is going to the WWE Hall of Fame. And boy, did they back up the truck for him.
I was going to say, I read the terms of the deal, because if you haven't heard, the terms of the deal have come out to a certain extent. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, Triple H sold his soul for a buttload of money.
He got a WrestleMania size payday, but if you think about it, to get him in the Hall, that's great. But he's also going to be doing they're going to do a DVD about him. He's going to be participate in Legend roundtables from time to time. But most importantly, he came and he agreed to this deal because WWE has changed its stance on everything. They've changed their wellness policies. They've changed the product. And that's something he's been clamoring for a long time, and which is why he never accepted any invitation to join.
Right. And from what I understand, this year was the year, or else he was not going to accept any future invitations.
Yeah, they made this push, and they got him.
And, you know, I have to say congratulations to them. It's definitely well-deserved. It's been a long time coming, and it's going to be great to see him.
It will be. Because he hasn't been seen in many, many years. The question everyone's asking is who inducts him. I don't know. My guess, if I was, predicting it, I'm saying it's Triple H.
Probably, yeah.
With all this he's gone through, he might as well be the one to induct him.
Yeah, since Hunter went and made the grab, I'd say Hunter gets the call. But you never know. I mean, he could have his family, he could have anybody do it, because my real question is this, and I'm kind of curious, what billing is he going to get in the Hall of Fame? Is he going to be one of the keynotes? Because obviously Foley is the big name.
No, he's not. Bruno Sammartino is the big name.
So they knock Foley down.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
Foley is going to be the co-headliner, and Bruno Sammartino will be the guy. He will be the main event attraction. He will be in the final man to walk out into the WWE Hall of Fame this year.
Well, kudos to them. I feel kind of bad for Foley, but...
Yeah, I feel bad for Foley, but I think he knew it all along. Because if you remember, they never said he would be the main inductee. They just said he was being inducted.
Right, absolutely, and I totally understand that, but it's, I think a lot of people were going, Foley's going to be the main attraction, and I don't think anybody saw Sammartino coming.
Not overly, no. There was all the talk, but it was never, no one ever thought Hunter could get it done.
Right, and he did. So yay to him.
Yay to him. Congratulations to Triple H. Congratulations to Bruno Sammartino for being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Now, I'm just curious about this, because another rumor came out about the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Supposedly, one, this class is going to be bigger than most years.
Yes.
Which hopefully leads to a smaller class next year.
Or they go with our idea of just inducting Vince McMahon and only Vince McMahon and making it a roast. But yeah, continue.
Yeah, but, you know, if that happens, WWE, we want our paychecks.
Hashtag Rack exclusive. Anyway.
Yes, hashtag Rack exclusive. We're trying to make it a thing, so hashtag Rack exclusive. So anyway, back to the topic. WWE is obviously going to have a larger than normal Hall of Fame class, which means the ceremony is going to take for fucking ever. But one of the things that is rumored is that since they're doing the induction in, of course, the famous Madison Square Garden, of actually inducting the building, Madison Square Garden, into the WWE Hall of Fame, which, if you think about it, it is rightfully deserved. In a way, it's just it seems a little odd to me that they're going to induct a building.
It seems odd. It really seems odd. But if there's any building to induct, this would be the building.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you think about the number of moments that have happened in that building.
But at the same time, if you think about it, it's Vince McMahon saying, "Yeah, we're inducting you into our Hall of Fame. Can you, cut us a break?" Maybe, cut us some slack on some pricing.
Well, I don't know if that's him doing that just because they helped the Garden out when the hockey strike was going on by taking dates.
Oh, I know, and I don't think it's anything to do with that. It's just, you know, Vince, he's playing some game with it.
Oh, I know. I know he's playing some game with it. What it is is it's free advertising for the Garden.
Yeah.
That's what it is. We want to induct the building into the Hall of Fame, and so, that gives you free advertising, that gives people a reason to come by. And one of the things I was kind of thinking about is there have always been rumors of a physical Hall of Fame for the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never been inside Madison Square Garden, but maybe they do something where they work something with the Garden where either they have a Hall of Fame display in the Garden or they put a form of the Hall of Fame in the Garden and make it a tourist attraction.
Well, the Garden already has their own Hall of Fame in there. So I don't know if you can do that with the Garden, but maybe set up a WWE display. Might be the
right
thing, because as I showed you pictures last week, I think it was.
Yeah, they've got some stuff up right now, and that's what I was kind of thinking is maybe they do, kind of like they do like the Titanic exhibits where they do kind of maybe a traveling exhibit or a temporary exhibit where they put a lot of the stuff on display either in the Garden or around the Garden or something like that, and obviously charge people to get in to see it. And you have a lot of the clothes and the memorabilia and that kind of thing, because WWE, if you go to Access, they have a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I could see them rotating different things in there. Maybe you put in the Madison Square Garden, you put in stuff that happened at MSG. You spotlight
right.
Some stuff. They might be good with that.
Is WWE in MSG's Hall of Fame? I know Vince Senior is. But is the company? Because that could also be the other tie-in, is that they induct Madison Square Garden into their Hall of Fame, and then Madison Square Garden inducts them.
I don't know. This is where we're Googling on the air, which is always good for live radio.
But I was just thinking, it's like that would be a nice tie-in to kind of, and also make money off of it, because people have been asking now for years if there's going to be a physical Hall of Fame where everything is on display, and it's always kind of been sort of waffled about. And I know Shane McMahon wanted to build one. Vince is against the idea, but I have a really funny feeling that Hunter would be for it, just because he is a student of the business and he has such respect for it that I can see him wanting to do that. Where they build an actual physical WWE Hall of Fame and they put everything in there.
Yeah, and I think it's eventually going to come within the next, I would say, 5 years.
I actually wouldn't mind seeing them do, like, a traveling exhibit where they take it all over the country and you can go see it. Where it's not in one place. Like, it's not in New York. It's not in Connecticut. It goes around and travels. And you hit major cities like New York and Atlanta and put it in Vegas, LA, those areas. And it travels around separately, so mm-hmm. you can go see it.
Yeah, they put, I'm trying to think of when you can, maybe some sort of bus, maybe. I don't know, I'm trying to think of how you tour it with it. For the big shows, maybe you set it up.
Well, it's kind of like what they do at Access, and that's what I'm kind of picturing in my head, is if you've ever been to WWE Access, if you've ever seen it, is they have a little mini area. One of the things that you can go see is they have a lot of memorabilia, and specifically worn gear from a superstars. They have, like, Ultra Stratus' stuff. They have Taker stuff, Hunter stuff, Freddie Blassie, Andre the Giant, Sarge, a lot of the current superstars and a lot of the people from the past, and they set it up, and it's pretty much set up like a kind of like a museum where they've got everything nicely displayed and it's all hung up and you can see everything, and they've got stuff in glass cases and that kind of thing, and it looks really nice. It looks really professional. And like the year I went, they had Shawn Michaels' gear on display, because that was the year he went into the Hall of Fame. So they had a lot of his gear right. on display. Ooh, a bacon-wrapped hot dog. Ooh, yum. Sorry. This is what happened. There's a show that's called United States of Bacon. That's cruel. And this guy had like a tower of bacon. Anyway. And that's kind of what I'm picturing, because that's the setup that they have would be really easy to tour with, because it breaks down. You just pack up everything, you keep everything nice, and you travel with it. And you get the Hall of Fame stuff, because we know they don't throw anything out. We know that warehouse is chock full of shit.
Oh, I know.
And it really wouldn't be that hard to get a hold of some of the memorabilia, particularly from the past, particularly from some of the living members, if not the families of the deceased members, to get that to put it on display.
Oh no, it would be easy. I think it would be something cool to see.
And you're like, just shut up. Just
No. She does this all the time, by the way. She says, just shut up. You want me to shut up, right? No, talk. This is, you know, a place to talk.
Well, I worry. You know me. I worry.
I know. See, this is just what you don't hear usually. But yeah, no, it's a great idea. I for one would want to see it. Because when they had WrestleMania here, they never had that sort of Access thing when they were here for 15.
Right.
Because Access has blown up since then.
Right, and by the way, if you ever get the chance to go to Access, definitely go check it out. I would recommend actually getting an all-day pass versus doing like a couple hours, because they have a lot of really great events that you can go to, and I think they're going to do the panels this year too. But also, you get to see the talent. You get to see the superstars right there. Like, literally, we walked in the door and there was Christian sitting there. So it was like, sweet. So for me, it was cool because there's a lot of stuff that I had never seen, and to be able to experience it was really neat.
It's a great piece of history.
It is. It's a fantastic piece of history. And if you get a chance to go, especially if you're going this year or you're in the New York area and you don't have tickets to Mania, try to go to Access, because it is. It's a lot of fun, and I think it's like $15 or $20 for 3 hours. And I forget how much the all-day pass is, but yeah, if you can, it's a cheap buy, and it's a good way to spend a day. Or two.
Or if we ever get the chance to WWE Vault, you know, spend all day and night there.
The puppet will look at us.
That puppet. Oh, yeah. We're not supposed to talk about the puppet yet.
#creepypuppet. It's coming.
You've been warned.
You've been warned.
the creepy puppet is coming.
But, yeah. And do we even want to talk about the last story, or do we just want to go to break?
Let's go to break.
Okay. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about TNA's Impact tonight and Wes Briscoe. So stay tuned and listen. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Just a change in my pocket wasn't enough. I'm like, fuck you and I fuck her too. Said if I was richer, I'd still be with you. Now ain't that some shit? Ain't that some shit? And although that's crazy, my shit, I still wish you the best. With the fuck you. Oh, oh, oh. Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't afford a Ferrari, but that don't mean I can't get you there. He's an Xbox, and I'm more Atari. But the way you play your game ain't fair. I picture the fool that falls in love with you.
Oh, she's a gold.
Well,
just don't you know.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of Scream retired. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 in my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open? Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Damn, man.
Somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to be plowed by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Impressed and leased since 1983.
Well, that ain't good.
The drummer from the Vipers only got one arm.
You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
Yeah, but don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat spam from the can.
watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But, there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
I'm a creek swimming, moonshine sipping, beer skinning, beer drinking, Johnny Cash listening. Long necks and rednecks are my friends.
Oh, Mr. Storm, how I love you, and boy, did he look fine tonight. Sorry. If you're not already aware, you are listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com, and of course, MemLamePromo.com. If you want to get a James Storm autograph or any TNA talent, check them out, because they've got some awesome ones, and I'm very jealous. Actually, I need to find my James Storm autograph. I'm not entirely sure where that went. But tonight's Impact from England was eventful.
Oh, yes it was.
We had quite a few surprises and quite a few changes tonight. TNA not afraid to take the risk to make some things happen when they're out on the road.
Which is a good thing.
Which is a great thing. But yeah, and by the way, I still love the fact that they've got a live crowd there and there's like 5,000 people and it looks so much better.
Looks tremendous.
It looks... I am so excited for them to go out on the road. I cannot wait.
I hope they can... I hope people in the Chicago area go out and see them on the first taping and make it seem like it's an experience.
Yes, people of Chicago!
Please.
Go out! Go buy tickets! Go to TNA, please!
Please, tickets go on sale tomorrow, so get out and buy your tickets tomorrow.
We're gonna have to talk to Matt, see if we can, you know, do like a promotion thing or something, because yes, our good friend and buddy Matt Goldberg is going to go to the show. I know he's filming with Tara. I believe it's tomorrow during an autograph signing. Lucky him. So yes, I know he's going to the show. So if nothing else, you can go to TNA Wrestling to go meet Matt Goldberg, filmmaker.
The incredible filmmaker. If you can get a copy of the Tara, we put it out on the Facebook and the Twitter. Get a copy of the Terrified poster, and take it to a live event and get it signed by Tara. She will sign them. Matt will sign them if you can find them.
Yes, Matt will sign them. He will actually be at the autograph signing, and he said if you bring a picture of the poster, or if you bring the poster itself, he will sign it. So, he will be there. I think it's at a pizza place. It's on his Twitter, MGB...
Films.
Films. And at, of course, Real Lisa Marie...
Tara Lisa Marie.
I'm sorry, I'm horrible at Twitters. Can you tell?
That's why I'm here to help you.
I know that's why you're here, and I appreciate it, because, you know, my phone tells me what people's Twitters are. I don't even type them all the way out. I just put in the first letter, and it usually finds it.
That's why we work well together. She forgets things, and I remember them, I forget things, and she remembers them.
Before we get into Impact, I have to tell you this. For my Training the Trainer class that I'm taking...
Mm-hmm.
We had to remember everybody's name, and I was like one of the last people to go, and I'm standing there going, because you had to put like you had to take the letter of your first name and come up with a word that described you, or come up with a word and then put it in front of your name. So like mine was Lucky Lindsay. And so everybody was doing that, and I'm like, I don't remember your word, but I know your name. Does that count?
And I was thinking when you said that you had to put a name by you, and I figured, yeah, you were going to use Lucky.
Well, I am. I'm very lucky.
You are, because you're the favorite, and you're award-winning.
Yes, hashtag favorite.
Anyway, Impact Tonight.
Numbers don't lie, folks. Impact Tonight opened with, of course, a replay of the Hogan family drama, and that led to Bully Ray being suspended, but not to worry. Not to worry, because Bully Ray is back, and he's got a match tonight with none other than, of course, the Stinger.
The Stinger, the Icon Sting, teams with Bully Ray tonight to take on two members of the Aces and Eights.
Yes, in a tables match at the end of the show. But before we get there, we open with the Aces and Eights, including Wes. Those jeans just could have been a hair tighter, and I would have been so happy. Sorry, I don't remember anything about this promo except for the fact that Wes Briscoe was standing there looking incredibly hot, and then he talked.
That sounds so wrong, by the way. He looked so hot, and then he talked.
He looked really hot, and then he talked. And he still looked hot. But anyway, the Aces and Eights come out with Garrett Bischoff and Wes in tow. They all get in the ring, and they start talking about, you know, what the group did, how Devon claimed that Aces and Eights will be dominating TNA in 2013. I'm still kind of waiting for that to happen. And what they did to Kurt Angle last week is only the tip of the iceberg.
And they recap what Wes and Garrett did with them last week to Kurt Angle, and they basically, Devon then introduced the two members of the Aces and Eights, the newest two members, Garrett Bischoff and
Wes. Do I get to sing his name every time?
Yes.
Sweet!
Garrett basically talked about, he spoke over, talked about the type of disrespect that they've been getting, especially from the crowd. He thanked Devon for inviting them into their family. And then Wes said he did this because of Hulk Hogan, claiming Hulk didn't answer any of his phone calls for 2 years. Yes, for 2 years he didn't answer his phone calls. He said Hulk didn't told him to start at the bottom, work his way to the top. Hey, Briscoe, he said. You know, hey, Briscoe starting at the bottom? Really?
Wes couldn't start on my bottom, just saying.
He noted that his father gave...
Breaks the producer twice in one night.
It's only just hour one. Hogan noted his father... He noted that his father gave Hulk his first pair of wrestling boots, and that this was how he got repaid by Hulk Hogan? Devon said, you know, his father's a Hall of Famer. You don't treat Hall of Famer, the sons of Hall of Famers like this. Devon then spoke that Angle better not come back to TNA. He said if Hogan wants to surprise them with the tables match, that's okay, because they always have a backup plan and an ace up their sleeves.
It was a great promo, and he got really, really, really good heat. Especially
yes.
At the end.
Yes, there was some good heat in this promo. I will agree.
But yeah, it was a great way to open the show. It was a nice tie-up for the everything that happened to Angle. It established them well, and I liked it. And Wes looked hot.
In case you didn't know.
In case you didn't hear me say it the first 30 times, Wes Briscoe, I want to jump your bones. Thank you. Anyway, backstage, Tara and Jesse are shown horsing around before they enter Brooke Hogan's office to complain about, well, Flying Coach. And I gotta agree with her. On that, Flying Coach over to Europe sucks like a bitch. Go for first class if you can get it. Brooke then kind of sort of shouted at them for being petty and selfish with all the things that she's been dealing with. Brooke said that Tara is facing Miss Tessmacher tonight, and Jesse is banned from ringside. She told Tara then to get her a coffee since she just wants to stand there with a pouty face. And this was an okay promo. I like Tara and Jesse, but Brooke, Brooke kind of sort of trying to act angry doesn't work.
Yeah, she really wasn't that great of acting angry. The best line was, as before they walked, I don't know who it was sent to, but Jesse said, I sent them a MySpace message, and that got me laughing.
That was fantastic.
It's like, who sends a MySpace message? What's a MySpace? Oh, wait, there is actually a new MySpace. I don't know if anyone's actually on it, but there apparently is a new MySpace.
Yeah, they redid MySpace in case anybody cares. But yeah, it was... When he said that, I actually popped. Because I was like, that's fan-freaking-tastic.
Yep.
Well played by them on that part. But yeah, I mean, it was a good promo. It was effective. Brooke acting angry. I don't know, but I did like her skirt.
Yes, you did, and you... You want Spug in the heels?
I think Spug would look cute in her shoes. He could work on his wiggle.
There's so much that could be said, but won't be. Anyway, up next.
This is what he needs to be on the show.
Yeah, well, in case you're unaware, I'll wait. Don't be announced, we'll come Tuesday. If you're not part of the Facebook group. Up next, first match of the evening, it's the X Division Championship. Three-way match. Kenny King, Zema Ion, and Rob Van Dam for the title. Solid match.
Good match. I mean, it was... You can't really go wrong with these three at this stage.
No, you can't, but this is a point I want to bring up. Watching this match up, because I didn't notice this last week. But maybe this was just me. And if anyone watched it... Sorry, red flashing lights. I thought it was Kane. ambulance rides by or some sort of truck. Anyway, the ring looks smaller.
The ring does look smaller. It wasn't their usual ring because it was a stiffer ring because you could hear it.
Yeah, it just looked a lot smaller than the normal ring. And that's to expect them when they travel. They don't have the production box where they can send their actual ring over. They can bring their supplies, but I don't think they can bring the full ring with them.
No, and I don't think they do. I don't think WWE does either.
I think they do.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. Because they get the big plane and they're able to get over and do it.
Ah, okay. Well, my mistake. But yeah, I mean, for what it was, it worked. It looked fine.
It looked fine. The ring itself looked fine. I noticed it in this match, and I noticed in the Storm match, which we'll get into, that it just looks smaller. There's usually more distance in the ring, and it just looked a lot smaller to me. It's not a complaint. It's just looking at it.
I'm not sure if it was the fact that the ring looked smaller or the setup, the area around the ring looked smaller.
It wasn't them moving around in the ring. I could tell it was smaller.
Either way, it was still a good match.
Oh, it was a great match, but it was just something I noticed as I was watching the show more intently than last week.
Right. But speaking of watching intently, up next backstage, we have a camera sneak up on one Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, and they're talking in the hallway. They share notes on how they're superior to Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez, and how they're going to capture the tag team titles tonight. They know that they are the easiest titles to grab. That's not a shot. That's actually what they said.
Well, that is what they've said. They've been saying for the last couple weeks that these are the easiest titles for them to get are the tag team titles, and that's why they've started with them first before they win everything else.
Yes. But Ari noted that his plan is to win all the gold in TNA so everyone follows their lead. This is my new favorite duo. I love these two together.
They're great. They're great together. They're right up there with the world tag team champion, the former world tag team champions of the world.
I want to see, and I don't know, I guess it's an ego off between Daniels and Kaz and Aries and Roode.
You know what's coming.
Oh, you know what's coming. I'm waiting for that confrontation. And the night that you hear that happens, you will hear me giggling like a giddy little schoolgirl on this show. Because it's going to be epic, and you know it is.
I know. I agree. We got a little bit of a recap after we come back from break of the British boot camp featuring the documented stars of Rockstar Spud, Marty Scurll, or something like that, and the Blossom Twins. I won't be able to pronounce his last name, but he didn't win, so that doesn't matter. So we find out later on exactly who wins. But it wasn't the Marty guy.
I will have to say this. Rockstar Spud looks a lot like Cassidy. Like,
yes.
A lot.
Yes.
Same hair and everything. It's like I'm sitting there and I looked up from my looked up for a second when he came out, because that's when I started watching, mm-hmm. when I got home. And I looked up and he walked out, and I'm like, what's Cassidy doing in England?
He doesn't tell his webmaster anything.
He doesn't tell me anything. But yeah, so it's like, oh, wait, that's not Cassidy. Never mind.
Unless Cassidy became British overnight.
He could have.
Speaking of eavesdropping stuff earlier, as we did earlier with Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, we have the TNA cameras talking randomly with D'Lo Brown and Bruce Pritchard. They were in their office. Pritchard said Wes Briscoe is the last person you would expect to see turn on Kurt Angle. Brown noted, not along as Pritchard said, when Angle comes back, there will be hell to pay.
Yeah, and this was a nice little segment. It put it over further. I think there was a third person in the room.
No, it was only those two.
I think there was somebody behind the door.
Maybe. I didn't see them. But you can tell these are the two people that, the two agents that went on the trip.
These are the two agents that went on the trip, but I would be interested to see if they tie in D'Lo into either side at all, because this isn't the first time we've seen D'Lo in regards to something happening with the Aces and Eights.
No, it's not.
D'Lo, remember everybody, D'Lo was the one that voted yes on Wes Briscoe.
Mm-hmm.
Just pointing that out. So I kind of introduced an interesting theory. I doubt it's going to happen, but if it does, you heard it here first. Could D'Lo Brown be the leader of the Aces and Eights, or could he be involved with Aces and Eights?
It's been speculation for a while that he could possibly be involved as the leader. 15 years ago, that would be the biggest thing in wrestling.
Now, not so much.
Now, not so much. No yeah. offense to D'Lo Brown, but... And I don't think he would care at this point. He's not a wrestler at this point. He's a backstage guy.
Oh, I agree. I think he's at least, because he's got the build for it. I'm kind of wondering if he's not the fully, you know, hooded and covered up member of Aces and Eights. And he's at least playing him on TV.
He might possibly be.
Just based on build, because that's pretty much what I'm doing the judge on, is it's like I'm sitting there looking at him and looking at the way he sits and looking at his build, and I'm like, interesting. But yeah. So anyway, nice little way to put Garrett and Wes over further the storyline. Kurt will probably be back when they come back to the States, because I read the spoilers when they came out, and I don't remember them, so I don't know what's going to happen next week.
Which is good, because you always want to go in unexpected.
Right. It's like I've read the spoilers for all three, and I didn't remember any of them, because it's got other stuff to worry about, so it's like, whatever. But yes, we come back from break, and Jesse's in the ring. He's waiting to call out Brooke Hogan. Jesse waited out cat calls before calling out Brooke Hogan. Fuck.
And breathe.
And take two.
Actually.
Jesse waited out cat calls before noting Brooke Hogan has banned him from ringside for the Knockouts match tonight. But don't worry, he's going to give the fans what they paid for, which is a chance to see a true Hollywood star. Jesse told everyone to get their cameras and cell phones out for a great photo op, but suddenly our hero, my hero, the man, the myth, the legend, the drunk, James Storm comes out. Storm then marches to the ring with the intentions to end Jesse's night. He gets in the ring, noting that these people don't care about taking pictures of Jesse because they came here to drink beer and see someone get beat up. So he's going to oblige the people. And he says, and I quote, I'm about to kick the crap out of you, then I'm going to drink me some beer, and then I'm going to pick you up so these people can see those teeth in your mouth. Storm said, and then he called out a ref and told Jesse to call his dentist because Jesse was going to be laying on one side of the ring. His teeth were going to be on the other after Storm kicked them out of his face. To which I say Storm was on fire.
Oh, the best moment came after this match.
Oh, it did. This is one of the highlights. Needless to say,
Storm won.
Storm won in a rather quick match, kicks the crap out of Jesse just like he promises. But what happens after the match is Storm picks Jesse up, or at least his head up, for everyone to get a picture, and like has a mic, and I forget what he said, or I don't know what he said, because I didn't hear it. I'll have to go back and watch it, but basically he moves Jesse's lips like a ventriloquist act and makes a joke.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Oh, is that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In that type of voice, too.
Yeah, in that type of voice, he says it, and then he drops Jesse on the mat and proceeds to drink beer, which was hilarious. I hurt you, James Storm. I want to have your kittens.
Well, you know. We're not moving on just yet.
We're not?
No, we're not.
Why aren't we moving on?
Because I said so.
You said so.
Because I said so.
Well, fine. Just bring the whole goddamn show to a halt.
I will. I will.
A super kick of the cowboy tonight.
What was that?
Sorry about my damn luck, cowboy!
And there we go.
That's why I stopped us for a second.
Bringing you audio right here on the rack. It was a great moment. It really was. I heard James Storm.
Sorry about my damn luck, cowboy. Tremendous.
Go Storm. Go Storm.
It's your birthday. Actually, it's not. Anyway, Storm wins.
Yay! And coming up next, we have the tag team title match. Another tremendous match. They stuck like these two great matches back to back. It was fantastic.
Yes, we had Austin Aries and Bobby Roode taking on Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez for the tag team titles. Aries was annoyed that he came out for Bobby Roode's music. Or was it the other way around? Either way, I don't remember who, but they were complaining about each other's music. And they came down to Roots. Okay, so yeah, they debated all about that. And had a really good match. But at the end, reluctantly, Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez lost the titles.
They did. Yes, we have new tag team champions in TNA. Bobby Roode and Austin Aries have captured their first set of gold on their quest, and they are your new world tag team champions. But they're not of the world yet.
They're not of the world yet, but they're close enough.
Close enough. I'll take them. But it made me really happy to see this change, and this isn't a shot to Chavo or Hernandez at all, but they never did shit with the belts. And so I'm hoping that this means that they're now going to do something with the tag titles again.
One can only hope.
And they just, Roode and Aries don't languish with them until they're ready to stick them in a main event feud.
I hope this is a plan. I hope they have a plan, and I think they do.
I think they do, and I'll agree with that. So, yeah. But we just have to see. And I would actually be interested to see if they can capture all the gold, including the women's belts, because I want to see how that happens.
I want to see what happens when Austin Aries meets up with ODB.
That'll be epic. Imagine Bobby Roode meeting up with ODB. That's going to be tremendous! By the way, why are all the office segments in Brooke Hogan's office? Doesn't Hulk have an office?
Maybe I don't know.
Okay, well, we're backstage once again in Brooke Hogan's office. Bully Ray and Sting are talking strategy in the tables match tonight when Hulk Hogan walks in on them. Sting and Brooke then bail, leaving Bully and Hulk to have a conversation. Hulk said that this is to end tonight, and it's all on Bully to make sure he proves how wrong he was about him. That meaning Hulk was wrong about Bully. Hulk said he wants Bully to prove how much of a good guy he really is. Bully then lifts his cap and says he's not a good guy. Just because he married Hulk's daughter and he's good to her doesn't mean that he's a good person. Bully said he's not forgotten what Aces and Eights did to Hulk, Sting, or his wife, but he ain't no good guy. Hulk smiled and said, for their family's sake, he hopes he knows who Bully really is. This ends tonight, and it's on you to end it for all of us, Hogan told him. Consider it done, Dad, Ray said, and then stomped off. Hulk cocked his head and said, perfect, with a wry smile.
Consider it done, Dad.
That was weird. That was just awkward.
Awkwardness, to say the least. Oh, my God. But it was well done.
Oh, it was great. It was very well done. But you're sitting there, and when he said, Dad, you're like, that, no, no, fail, no, wrong.
Yeah, I would agree. It works for a storyline, but it's so creepy.
Yeah, it's just like, this is weird.
Yeah. It's really weird. But up next, after this great tag team title match, we have we got a video package talking about AJ Styles and walking away from TNA. I guess they're trying to remind us that he's still with the company. But up next, Terror takes on Miss Tessmacher in a non-title matchup. They gave him some time. It was a solid matchup with the surprising Tessmacher winning.
To which I say, boo! No offense to Miss Tessmacher, but boo!
I was surprised that Tara lost on that one.
I was surprised, too, especially since they had her lose to Tessmacher. The only thing I'm thinking is that they're going to have Tessmacher drop to Velvet. But I'm not entirely sure why they decided to suddenly change them over, basically.
I don't know, it was weird. At least she didn't lose the title to Tessmacher, so that's okay.
I thought she did lose the title.
No,
to
it was non-title.
Non-title? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, yay, Tara's still champion! I'm sorry, I'm tired.
It's okay.
The work schedule's throwing me for a loop. I'm sorry, I'm tired. This is not going to be a good 3 months for this show.
It's a tremendous 3 months. Anyway.
Yeah, it's my Lindsay's sleep schedule is screwed because I work nights and then I go to school during the day. So, yeah, this is going to be interesting. But, yeah, so, again, I don't like seeing Tara lose, but as long as she doesn't lose the title, it's okay.
Yes. We then have Jeremy Borash in the ring, and he welcomes out the 2013 British Boot Camp winner that no one besides people in the UK saw, Rockstar Spud.
Hashtag Cassidy Riley is better.
Spud strutted down to the ring before standing next to Jeremy Borash, who found someone who's actually towers over on a TNA roster. Spud said he's finally here in this ring and in front of his home country fans. This brought out Robbie. Robbie brought Rob Terry with him, where they stared down at each other. Robbie said, Spud is a disgrace, not a wrestler, and a pizza delivery man. If this was 2 years ago and you had a G to that, that's, someone we know fondly. Spud.
Yes.
Spud then ran into Terry's chest, trying to get at Robbie. Terry stood in between them as Robbie talked a big game over Terry's shoulder, then noted Terry does whatever he tells him to do. This, then, well, Rob Terry had enough of it, so he took a knee to adjust his shoes, which allowed Spud to attack Robbie E, clearing him to the floor. Robbie E complained about Rob Terry from the outside, then Spud, helped Rob Terry start his dance move. And then did a metal sign for dancing, and they rocked out together. That's kind of creepy.
I thought Robbie T was going to, bitch slap Robbie E, especially when he was, jumping up on his back. Because he's like, get off, dude. Seriously, get off. Off? Before he just drops the list and lets Robbie E get slapped. But yeah, it was just Robbie T looks so annoyed.
Yeah, he does, but it's great chemistry. It just, him dancing seems weird.
They gotta give him something to do.
I know, it just seems weird.
Because I think they're gonna potentially break those two up. They have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they will.
Of course, what you do with Rob Terry after that, I have no idea, but eventually they're gonna break them up, I think, and Rob Terry's probably gonna go face.
Yeah.
With the way that they're going with it, so yeah, it's coming. It's just a question of how it happens, and I think that happened tonight. Partially by dropping the list and letting Robbie E get slapped, so.
Yes, but they've been teasing this for a while, so we'll see.
I know. But that means no more ugly sweaters.
Yes. You just get one ugly sweater.
That's okay. That's one less closet I have to track down.
Very good point.
But after this, we are to our main event of the evening.
Yes, we are. It's Sting and Bully Ray taking on D-Von and Doc. Before we get to the match itself, we have Bully Ray and Sting backstage. Brooke Hogan asked them if they are ready. Sting says he is. Then Ray turned around to say the final word to Brooke Hogan. And then, you know, Sting was screaming, "Showtime!" And then she was excited and, you know, "Go get him, Tiger!" she said to him as he walked away. And, yeah.
That was awkward. There were a lot of those moments tonight backstage where it was just awkward.
Yeah. It's awkward. Because they're married and, you know.
That's like it's the weirdest marriage. And I get that not every marriage is all about, "Oh, I love you," and I know that doesn't fit to Bully Ray's character at all.
No, it doesn't, but he's making it work.
He's making it work, and it's just, it's kind of like more like their hangout buddies than their husband and wife.
Yep, they're good friends.
So I just wonder if it's a friends with benefits that happen to be married kind of thing.
But when did they get married? Because they really didn't get married? Maybe that's a plot hole? I don't know. Anyway. Let's get to the match.
Well, that's why I asked you a couple weeks ago, is like, did they actually get married? Have they, like, established that they actually got married?
They keep saying, "This is my wife, this is my husband," yada, 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 and they're married, and they're family, and they keep saying it. Impact Wrestling's Twitter says it. So if they say it on Twitter, it must be true?
Well, we all know anything on the internet is true.
Damn right.
So anyway, yes.
It's main event time. Bully Ray in face paint and Sting take on Doc or Steve and D-Von in a tables match.
In a fairly solid match.
Very solid match. The ending to this one, though.
Yeah, the ending was a little weird.
You had Bully Ray do the Hulk Hogan hawking up gimmick, brother, where he did the block, the shaking, and then the blocking of the punches, and then the you, and then the big boot, and then no light drop, but he put D-Von through the table. I got a kick out of it, but it was weird.
After watching the Hogan Warrior match, bad thoughts started creeping into my mind.
By the way, if you ever wanted to hear a wrestling classic turned into a 30-minute porno? Just wait till we get to the WrestleMania edition of the WTRS.
Yes.
What you gonna do when Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior, well, get it on.
All over you.
Brother.
Yeah, and it was a good match. It was a solid match. Obviously, they were doing a lot to protect Sting, and it showed.
Yes, and it was more of a brawl than a match, and that's what you want allies for.
Exactly, and that's what the Aces and Eights really should have been doing all along. My only issue with it is, obviously, is again, the Aces and Eights lost, which I'm waiting for them to have this year, to have this dominant influence over TNA, and so far they don't seem to have it.
Yeah, they don't win.
I mean, the whole point of a faction group is they should be running amok, and they should be beating the crap out of everybody, and they should be winning. they shouldn't be losing, because it's to this effect of, well, somebody's eventually just needs to go. Well, we keep beating you at every turn. Why are you still here?
Exactly.
You know, somebody needs to look at them and go, we're not afraid of you. We're not afraid of what you can do. Okay, fine. So you can be a gang and you can beat people up. But in the end of the day, good always triumphs, and we beat you and we send you packing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, they need to do something where Aces and Eights do something major other than reveal people, which I know we've all been clamoring, they need to reveal people, and I'm glad to see that they are, but they need to start doing something where Aces and Eights do something dominant.
They gotta win a major title. The TV title's not a title. They gotta get the... If they're able to get the world title somehow, then there you go.
I was gonna say, I was just thinking that if they can find a way to either get it off of Jeff Hardy or kidnap Jeff Hardy or something to that effect.
They gotta get a hold of the world title, because that's the only way they can make an impact at this point.
Right. Because at this stage, I'm really, as much as I adore the storyline and I love where they're going with it, and Wes is just hot, they need to do something else with it. And I know there's a twist coming. I can feel the twist coming. Mm-hmm. But at this stage, it's really hard to care.
Yeah.
Especially if the twist is going to be what I think it is, which is Hogan's the leader.
Yeah, that would make me hard to care about the storyline.
Because I'm also kind of wondering if Brooke marrying Bully isn't a setup. If Brooke hooking up with Bully isn't a setup.
Yeah, it might just be.
By Hogan and Brooke. And they're going to come out and say, they're going to screw Bully over in some fashion. And they're going to say, it was all a sham. It was me, McMahon. It was me. Or it was me, Austin. It was me all along. Ha 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 ha. Kind of thing.
Yeah, I could see. Which would be, it'd be a step back for the progress they're making overall as a company.
Yeah, and so I don't want to see them do that, but I have a feeling that's where they're going, just based on the way they're setting it up right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope to God that Hogan isn't the leader of Aces and Eights. Please don't make him the leader. Don't make Sting. Make it somebody unexpected, and for fuck's sake, make it somebody big.
Yeah, we've been clamoring that for months, that we want it to be someone big. And there, as we pointed out during, as we were going through tonight, there's maybe one guy left that hasn't been unmasked, and then there's the higher power. So there's two plot points left, and we got a couple months. We got about 4 or 5 weeks before we should get those answers.
I think they're just going to do maybe the president should be done soon. If they don't do the president soon, they do him at lockdown, or the vice president, and then they do the higher power stuff sooner rather than later.
It's all got to come within the next few weeks. Maybe when they get to back to the impact zone and get back live, we might get our answers.
Right. And that's probably what's going to happen. Is right now the problem is that all these shows next week as well is going to be pre-taped. So it's, we're getting basically everything they plotted out 3 weeks ago. So they could hit the ground running fresh in the States. And it could be one of those kinds of things that maybe they're not going on the road before lockdown, are they?
No, we have two more taped shows, and then they're back live for 2 weeks before lockdown.
And then they go on the road after lockdown.
Yes, they're live on the 28th and the 7th.
So, okay. So I was going to say, it could be something that they say for when they go on the road live, but that may not happen. I think the twist is coming. It's obviously going to come at lockdown, because they have to make it a big deal. Because this is their next pay-per-view isn't going to be until the summer.
Yeah, we're about, what, 5-6 weeks away. We're 4 weeks away, I guess, at this point, from lockdown.
Is it weird that there isn't a TNA pay-per-view this month?
It's really weird, because if you think about it, as you know, we sit and plan the show out the night before. This would have been the week where we would have been planning out. We would have had an easier time planning out the show, because we would have been previewing Against All Odds.
Right.
It's not happening this week. So, you know.
Thank you, TNA. Thank you for screwing us up. And by the way, y'all have no idea how hard it was to plot out this show last night. You don't even know.
Well, we're gonna have fun after the break, but,
yeah, it's weird, but it feels so nice at the same time. Like, I was thinking about that the other day. It's like, wow, we don't have to talk about two pay-per-views this month.
Think about this. It was one pay-per-view in March.
That's it. Because WWE isn't running one in March.
Nope. So, you know, we're getting spread out on pay-per-views, and which should make Lockdown really special.
Right, and that's what I'm looking forward to. And I hope it is special. I hope it's big, and it's huge, and it's epic, and it's exactly what they want. And I hope it sells out. I hope that they have a couple thousand people there, even though they booked a 70,000-person arena. But we're not going to get into that again. But yeah, I mean, I'm actually starting to look forward to Lockdown. Because they're building to it. And it actually feels important. You know?
I'm totally with you, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, so it's like, go TNA for making me want to see your pay-per-view without having anything booked for it. Just because I'm curious to see what they do for it.
And I think over the next couple weeks, we will get an idea of the direction they are going.
Here's to hoping, but speaking of direction, I say we direct ourselves to our next break.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, so you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and when we come back, we're going to have our Tweet of the Week and our discussions, and I promise to wake the hell up and be on my A-game when we come back. So stay tuned and listen, and we'll be right back.
Looking for some wrestle talk?
I wonder how many people we lost when we started talking hockey. Fourth.
I don't know.
Fucking Canadians taking over. What the hell?
Oh, what's he doing? He doesn't work Saturdays.
Yeah, I'm not working. I'm having fun. This is me having fun. See, when I have fun and I'm loose and relaxed, you know.
You sound like you're having fun.
I sound like I'm having fun. And I don't sound like I'm intentionally making bad jokes, so you guys can pick off.
Then step into the ring Sunday nights. 10 p.m. Eastern for Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yes, tune in to listen to Tim Stein crack bad jokes and pretend he's funny. He's my neighbor. He's poor. He cannot afford that pot. He only has that pot now. No, that is girl's right pot. Go have a Coke and a smile.
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, a show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act. There will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers.
We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
No, I just thought it was really fitting.
It is really fitting, but I'm sitting here going, is he trying to tell me something?
No, it's just the out of my head part. I was looking for a song that went out of my head, because we always in each other's head.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, Rock and I share a brain.
Yeah.
We think so much alike now, it's not funny.
No, and yeah, so...
It's a little scary.
It's a little scary. But I was searching for a song just for that fitting occasion, and that's the one that popped up, and it worked. But anyway, welcome back to The Rock Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PWMania.com and Memorabilia Promotions. Go to memlanepromo.com for all your collectibles, sporting, wrestling, autograph needs.
Yes. So... And I'm sorry about the results. I'm sorry about the Impact coverage. I'm not on my A-game tonight.
You're fine.
I know, but I want to give the people a good show, and I just like to apologize because I can't multitask and read and talk at the same time. At least over long periods. Like, you should hear me try to read a book out loud. It's... absolutely the most hilarious and pathetic thing you've ever heard in your life.
Oh, this has got to happen now. Anyway.
No, it's not going to happen on the air. Just, no.
This is fair on the air. Anyway, ready for...
You heard it. Whenever we do commercials, you hear how many times I screw up.
I know.
At least four takes, people. Four takes.
Sometimes,
if not more. I don't even remember how many takes it took us to do the acceptance speech.
Wow. Lindsay reads Twilight.
No, I don't. Whoever said that, go to your corner. Cane Kittens? That's a bad, bad... Cane Kittens, go to your corner. Now. Just now.
He could have said 50 Shades of Grey.
I'd rather read 50 Shades of Grey. At least that's somewhat kinky. Twilight? No. It is a thing of evil and must be destroyed. And not because it's vampires, but because it sucks. And we will keep sending you to your corner, Kane Kittens.
Actually, he went to the corner on his own. I just said, no, just no. He went to the corner on his own. He knows better right now.
I don't remember what he said yesterday. I sadly didn't listen to Jaeger's because I had stuff going on at work.
He said something on Twitter. I just said, no, just no.
Ah.
So, speaking of Twitter.
Yes, speaking of Twitter, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So you want me to go first?
Sure.
From Daniel Bryan. I would like to find whoever invented the alarm clock and punch them in the face.
Thank you! I need to go find that and retweet that.
From AJ Lee, a bee just flew into my face and kept going. So, there's that. Dr. Shelby, I'm sorry I could not be at WWE Hashtag Raw to support Team Hell No tonight. My son, Richard, had a bad minute game. He lost. He's not good. Hashtag honesty.
Yes, for those of you that don't know, Dr. Shelby has a Twitter, and it's amazing. And it's the guy that actually plays Dr. Shelby.
It's at Dr. Shelby Tweets.
Yes, it's epic.
Yes, and finally, Ricardo Rodriguez, lying on the sofa when suddenly my two cats start parkouring / ninja-ing all over the place, off the furniture, and my face.
Like you do.
Just sort of happens like that. So, what do you have for Tweet of the Week?
I have Dr. Shelby.
Okay.
If you feel yourself start to get angry during today's game, like the football man, count to 10 and have some chips and dip. Hashtag Super Bowl. Stay calm. Power failures happen. We can eat more vegetable skewers and watch more commercials. Hashtag Super Bowl. Hashtag I blame Beyonce's hairdryer. And lastly, a relaxing end to Super Bowl Sunday. Some acoustic guitar music and a glass of iced tea. Hashtag tomorrow is Monday. Hashtag raw. Hashtag make it count.
I have some more that reminded me. Super Bowl reminded me. I retweeted a lot. So I want to read a few.
Okay.
Christopher Daniels. Jim Harbaugh just walked over to his brother and asked for a second half do-over.
Ooh.
Roman Reigns. 49ers are losing. Vest on. Cut the lights. Time to fight. Hashtag 49ers losing equals injustice.
By the way, that power outage is when you wish The Undertaker had a Twitter.
No.
Just saying.
No kidding. Santino Marella. Lights out. Time to pinch bums.
I saw that. I hurt Santino.
William Regal. Guess it was me who turned out the light. Sometimes I just can't help myself. Hashtag born naughty.
Damn it, Regal!
Ricardo Rodriguez. Lights out! Undertaker! And Cranky Asshole. Sorry about the power outage. The Superdome couldn't handle the cane. Hashtag canes to asses.
I just love when the lights went out that everybody automatically went Undertaker.
I know, right?
That was amazing. I only wish it had trended on Twitter.
I know, right?
That would have been awesome.
Kane Kittens sends one in. Hashtag Star Wars spinoff film starring Jar Jar Binks would still be less terrible than any of the Twilight movies.
You still don't redeem yourself.
Yeah.
Although, did you hear that they are going to make Star Wars spinoffs? One of them is going to be Yoda, but the other two are going to potentially be Boba Fett and Han Solo.
I did not hear this.
Yeah, it was a story up today where they're looking to make, basically give Han his own movie and Boba their own movie, and I think Han's is going to take place in between A New Hope and whatever the number 3 is titled, mm-hmm. so between 3 and 4, and then Boba I think is going to be between 5 and 6, where he goes off on his own bounty hunting adventures and of course delivers the carbonite Han Solo to Jabba. To which Spud can then get his desk. And the business end of Harrison Ford.
Yes. So there's that's like here on tweets. You can put them in our chat. They're live right here.
And actually, Kane Kitten's actually one of the with the friend. Yes, I saw because I'm here. But
yeah,
I'm,
she's here. They're there. It's a thing. And
yeah, it's called get them to get them to Salt Lake. That's what we need to do.
Get them down to Salt Lake. That's all. It's hashtag we want impact in Salt Lake. We're somewhere close to the area.
Yeah, you won't get a Mad Lindsay rant because they're going to Atlanta. You'll more hear me whine a lot whenever they go to Atlanta. And when they're actually there and they shoot there, I'll be making grabby hands at the camera because I
want
to go.
Oh no, I'm going to be there. I want.
Portland's too far. Portland's about a day's drive for me.
Let's get them to maybe
Vegas.
Vegas would be good.
Vegas is about 6 hours away. That's relatively close. Boise's relatively close. Like, I can get there in a day. Less than a day. I'm not going to Tucson or Phoenix are way too far. Okay, everybody go to Google Maps and look up Salt Lake City. And you see exactly where I live, and then branch out from there.
And then tweet, and Lindsay, go here, but you can't go there.
Right. Remember, it has to be within 8 hours or less driving distance.
We should keep it within 4.
4 to 6 is good. 8's a little bit too much, but Vegas is about 6 hours away, so 4 to 6 hours. Yes, Salt Lake is the dark spot seen from Pride Rock. We've shot off into a tangent of don't we?
It's okay. It's all good. I'm going to throw out the question now because we're going to get to it in a few minutes. WWE or TNA or wrestling in general. Ice cream flavors. We're going to get into that in a little while.
And hopefully we got some epic responses to that.
We have a few on the
on Facebook?
No. This is not Welcome to Jaggers on Thursday nights. No. No. Corner. Now.
Again! With the corner! Really, Kane Kittens? God. But if it is Jaggers on Thursday night, which one of us is getting high?
That's Tommy. Corner. Far, far in the corner.
Oh, no, outside. Outside. You don't even get the corner. Go cut yourself a switch.
Doghouse. Go.
Now. So anyway, moving away from the threats and the tangents and whatnot.
By the way, we love our chatters.
We love you guys. We really do. We swear. I have a hypothetical for you, Rock, and for our chatters to distract them.
Okay.
Bound for Glory is coming up.
Yes, it is.
And they have the Bound for Glory series.
Mm-hmm.
Say our most favorite lawyer in the world, Joseph Park, enters the Bound for Glory series. Hmm. What would happen if he were to win the Bound for Glory series?
I had to answer the chat room. Anyway, before I moved on, if Joseph Parks went. Yeah, see, okay. Hashtag Rock Exclusive. You heard it here first. So, the idea behind Joseph Park is that he's trying to become a pro wrestler, correct?
Correct.
So he's learning different things each time around. First match. he, you know... Alright, let's forget about the year he fought Bully Ray. First match, you know, he fought Devon, you know, he started to learn some moves. Second match, he learned some more moves and actually had a finishing move. So as months go, the weeks and months go on, he's going to learn more. And more,
right.
And more and more and more. He's going to pick up the W more often than not, hopefully. But what if he starts building momentum and gets, he's one of the lucky 10 or 8 or whatever it is?
8, I think.
8, maybe. Whatever it is. Maybe even 12. I don't know. Whatever it is. However many people, he gets involved in the Bound for Glory Series tournament. And what if he's in the finals? What if he makes it all the way there and it's Joseph Park in the main event? Think about the story that could be told there.
I like it. And when you propose this to me, I like it. I really do. Especially if Joseph Parks kind of sort of bungles his way through the initial part and then manages to either bungle his way into beating somebody or just flat out beat someone.
Yeah, you have him beat up the lower end crowd, get his points. You get him the big head start like James Storm guy. And then, you know, a schoolboy here, he gets a 1, 2, 3, gets the victory, woohoo! Joseph Parks gains 7 points. Someone gets disqualified, he gets how many points that is. And he starts getting, creeping up the board, and it's like, wait, Joseph Parks is in the top four? This can't be right. Wait, is it? Yeah, he's gonna be in the final four, and it's the month before, and they have the tour. They continue the tournament on Impact, and he makes it there. And wait, he's in the final two. How did Joseph Park get here? He wins it. He beats. I don't know. I was gonna say if the TNA is pushing people, he beats. If say in the final four, he beats Matt Morgan. It's a big victory for Joseph Park, and then he's going up against Austin Aries, and he beats Austin Aries, and it's Joseph Park in the main event for the World Heavyweight title. Think about that. Forget him being Abyss. Just think about the Joseph Park character in a main event for a world title. Think about that story.
Now here's the question. Does he win the world title?
Yes. I would have him win the world title. I would not have him have a long reign as world champion, but I would have Joseph Park become the world heavyweight champion.
Yeah, I would more have him, like I said, either he bungles his way to it or he accidentally wins it and he only holds it. They kind of do what they did with Storm, where they have him only hold it for about a week.
I would give him a month, because let him do the open fight night gimmick or the championship Thursday gimmick, and he ends up losing it there. But I would give him a couple weeks, the big celebration, and I would make it interesting where it's adding. It's like, okay, we've all seen Abyss in the title picture and we know what it's all about, but it's Joseph Park and that's that character, and it's no offense to like AJ Styles or James Storm or anyone else's, but it's a different approach to a character.
The thing about it is it's Joseph Park is a character without it being a character necessarily. He's very much believable as a real person. He comes off as a real person, but he's not. You know, he's completely made up. It's basically Chris Park, a.k.a. Abyss, playing a lawyer. And I'm more curious to see how that split personality would play into the Bound for Glory series. And how you would work the fact that every time he sees blood, he snaps.
See, I would... That'd be interesting how to work that. I see him more transitioning off on that.
Because... I like how they do that, and I almost want to see somebody play it into that or use that against him in some way where it's people start realizing more and more, okay, there's a problem with him. There's something wrong. He's not right. Mm-hmm. And maybe people start looking into Joseph Park more. And we find, because I want to find out more about him. I want him to have more of a backstory other than he's just a lawyer from Chicago and he's Abyss's brother. Because we all know, or if you're a TNA fan and you've watched it for long enough, you remember the story of how they reveal Jim Mitchell is Abyss's father, Judas Macias is Abyss's brother, or half-brother or something, and that the mom shot the father and everything kind of went to hell. So it would be curious to see how Joseph Park sort of would tie into that dynamic either as a separate brother or how that personality of Abyss got formed, or how Abyss got formed off of Joseph Park.
Here's the twist I could see happening, sort of off of what you're saying, is as Joseph Park is moving up the ladder in the Bound for Glory series, you get these vignettes with him, and you see some of Abyss's past start to creep up on him.
Right.
You see... Maybe even he's haunted by his brother. You know what I mean?
I can see that, but the thing about it is he talks about Abyss like he's a separate person.
Right.
That's my only issue, is that Chris Park treats Abyss like he's a separate person.
Right. But I'm trying to work it out where it's, I can picture, you know, he's looking in the mirror and then Abyss pops up behind him and there's no one there. And that sort of gimmick. Maybe you bring in a James Mitchell and say, just like your brother, you can't do this, or yada, yada, yada. You do many different things along those lines.
Right. By the way, I have a late intern for Tweet of the Week, but we'll get to that.
Okay. The Joseph Park. But yeah, that's just the deal. It's like, I could be completely off my, you know, brain thinking this is where they're going. That's why it's a rock exclusive, because usually when we think of something, either really, really happens or it's totally off. By the way, speaking of Rack Exclusive, have you been watching WWE Raw and the whole idea we've been putting out there? Hostile Takeover coming soon. But yeah, it's I just see Joseph Park being in the finals and maybe possibly winning the world title. I just think it would be a great story for TNA to tell.
It would be, and it would be different. It would be something psychological where you're sitting there and you're trying to figure it out and figure out what's going on. And that's kind of what I've done like the whole time with Joseph Park, because it's like, okay, is he just going to be a one-off? Is he just temporary? And it seems like because it's getting over, they're going to run with it. And Abyss is gone, because that's the other thing, is do you have Abyss come back and come into the Bound for Glory series?
No.
And what happens if... Because eventually it's going to be what happens if both of them have to be in the same place at the same time. Because that's probably how they'll end up revealing that they're the same person.
If that's the direction to go. I'm thinking Abyss is being phased out. Even though he has been phased out for about a year and a half now. But...
Which, there's nothing wrong with that, because honestly, with the matches, or the style of matches that he was working, he wasn't going to hold up.
And think about it. The guy's wore a mask for 9 years. He has some of the best facial reactions ever.
Oh, I know!
So it's a crime that he was under mask. I would stay with the character. This character, originally I thought, okay, this character only has a little bit of legs, and now they've taken it, it's lasted a lot longer than I thought it would.
I think a lot of it is him and the way that he does the character, because it is so believable. And the fact of the way that he's working it and he's selling it, and the fact that you have this guy that he's a lawyer, he's never been in a wrestling ring, he's a fan, but he's like us. He's an outsider. We can relate to him because he's an outsider. He's gone into the business, and we're watching him go into the business and work his way through it, in a sense.
Right. The only problem with the Joseph Park character as the believable underdog is that he's 300 pounds.
Right.
That's the only problem with the underdog role, basically, what we proposed throughout this conversation, is he plays an underdog role. And at some point, his power and strength, he'll learn how to use it to his advantage. And then he could become really dangerous. But that's the only thing that might hold them back from pulling the trigger on Joseph Park as the underdog, complete underdog to win a world title.
Right.
Is his size. And that's, is a bad thing for him, but it might hold him back, but at the same time, it's a good thing that there might be the possibility of it actually happening.
The way that I can see them playing into that is that they play on his limited experience.
Right.
And that's how you make him an underdog initially, is his limited experience in the ring, the fact that he's still a newbie, he's not really trained, he's still learning, and you have the guy in the Bound for Glory series. And you have the guy winning in the Bound for Glory series. Or he wins the series by some random miracle. So I can see them playing that to Joseph Park's favor. And then, again, that can play into, well, you never know when he's going to snap kind of deal.
I can see that.
And, I can actually see with the way that he wins the world title is blood is involved, he has his abyss moment, he kills whoever he's facing, and he wins the title, and he comes back out of it, and he doesn't realize what he's done, or that he's won the title. Because just think about selling that.
Oh, I could completely see it. And then imagine the acceptance speech.
That would be epic. That I can see them doing, and I could really, really be into that. And really appreciate that. And especially if he wins it at Bound for Glory.
That would be a really special moment.
And then what you could do if you wanted to continue it is that's when you could run a storyline with him where Abyss's past comes back to haunt him or bite him in the butt.
That's where, yeah, you could tie it in there, too. That would work,
too. That's how you continue on with him as champion, is you have somebody dig into his past, and Abyss's past, and you bring that up. And it will never happen, but miracle upon miracles, they bring Jim Mitchell back, which would be fucking epic.
Yes. So, once again, hashtag rack exclusive, Joseph Park wins the Bound for Glory series and becomes your world champion in October. Mark tape right here, and now it's February, 7th? Still, technically.
Hey, Tommy, don't admit that you're listening to Alan's interview in our chat room. We're watching.
Calling him out, aren't you?
I'm sitting here looking at the chat room, and I'm totally calling him out. I don't care if you listen to it, just don't listen to it during the show.
But if
at least don't tell me.
If he's listening to it, he can't hear you yelling at him.
I know.
Can't get and yell at him. I think we've covered that topic enough. So if you're here now, Rack exclusive on February 7th, Joseph Park wins the Bound for Glory series.
And by the way, yes, mark it, Rack exclusive.
Someone take note of it.
Sure you did. Sure. By the way, the uprunner or the front runner for tweet of the week is my friend Melinda. She tweeted, uh, she she tweeted to me about Wes's jeans earlier, and I told her that he just needed to lose the jeans, and she replied with, I vote tighter and ripped, like shredded, barely there. Did I just say that out loud? And he retweeted it. So, win.
Okay. The other topic we wanted to discuss here tonight is a more serious topic in terms of general wrestling in general. Consequences in wrestling. Should they be brought back, and if they're brought back, should they mean something?
Well, I think we're starting to see them come back, and this was sort of spawned on what happened on SmackDown, #spoilers. If you don't want to hear it, close your ears in 3, 2, 1, where Alberto Del Rio is suspended by Booker T for beating up the Big Show. And Ricardo is with him because Ricardo is the ever-faithful guy. Yeah, and that's what we're talking about, King Kittens' fine suspensions, and even people getting arrested. Because one of the things that kind of made me think was Monday night, you have Alberto Del Rio go to Big Show's hotel. He beats the crap out of him, which I loved, by the way. WWE, please do more of that. And it's like, okay, well, there's going to have to be something that results from this. They can't let him get away with it. And so one of the things I was thinking was, it's like, well, are they going to have Alberto Del Rio arrested? Are they going to strip him of the title? Are they going to, you know, do a suspension like they did? You know, fines are okay, and they're something, but I think they sort of shot the wad on that when John Laurinaitis fined Sheamus $500,000.
Yeah. Here's my point about the fines, and I've been thinking about this all day and waiting to mention it on the air. Let's have the fines mean something. We talk about fines in pro wrestling, and you never see them actually paid, do you?
I'm sorry, what?
You never see an actual fine being paid.
No, you don't.
What if they did? Where are they getting this money from? How can you actually pay off these fines? You keep... Have a wrestler continually get fined and have it, you know, him second... Every time he gets fined, have him start second-guessing his actions. And can he afford the next bit, you know, the next move he makes?
Right, and that's really what they should have done with Sheamus, is they either should have payroll deducted it, like have John Laurinaitis say, well, you know, Sheamus goes to John Laurinaitis and says, I don't have $500,000, and that's when John Laurinaitis says, well, okay, you're going to work it off.
You work it off, and then, you know, the guys who get, you know, for example, the guys who come in the big, fancy suits, they start getting fined a lot of money. Those suits shouldn't be so fancy any longer. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's, let the fines and suspensions start having an effect on them. Maybe, say Russell gets suspended, and then, you know, goes on a losing streak because he's distracted. He doesn't want to... If we go back to the Sheamus angle, where he, you know, if he don't touches this person, he gets, you know, suspended or whatever. Have it start to play an effect on him. Have him second-guess himself and have him lose. Because wins and losses in pro wrestling should matter.
They should.
And that's
they don't.
They don't.
They should.
They should. That's why consequences like fines and suspension should actually play a big part in what they do. It should affect the wrestler's character. Just don't say, oh, he's been fined, yada yada amount, and drop it. No, have it take effect. Have it matter in the grand scheme of their character.
And that goes on to saying that the general managers and the authority figures should actually have some semblance of authority. Like they used to.
Instead of just being able to book a match, they should have authority.
Like, for everything Vicky Guerrero did wrong as GM of SmackDown, because I wasn't really particularly fond of that, the one thing that I did like is that she did have total control of that show. And one of the things she did, which I hated, was she banished The Undertaker. AKA, she suspended him. But she basically sent him away.
Mm-hmm.
which is a huge show of power to be able to do that. And you should have GMs be able to do that where they can make those decisions. I wouldn't say fire people. I would have to argue that firing people goes through either Vince or the board or whatever. But they should have the ability to find people and suspend them or have them, like what Vince did, escort Punk out of the building. That kind of thing, to be able to show that kind of authority that they are in control. Because right now, the GMs are a joke. It's like all they really do is book a match, and that's it. They don't really have any authority. It's like they make a threat, and the threat is, well, I'm going to stick you in a match with so-and-so. Ooh, big whop. You know, who cares? It's, well, if you don't do this, I'm going to suspend you. I'm going to fine you.
You have this chance at a title match? No, you've been suspended. And actually, take them, pull them. You want to cross the line again? You're scheduled for a title shot? No, you're not. You're out of the title match now.
And one of the things, I know a lot of people bemoaned it, but it was like, I actually kind of wanted to see Punk get stripped of the title. I wanted to see it have that kind of impact. And I know a lot of people would have hated it and shit on it because it's, well, you know, a 400-whatever-day title reign gets ended in a stripping.
Well, everyone's already shit on it anyhow. So, you know.
Yeah, they didn't like the way it happened initially. So it's like, you know, what does that do to where the WWE champion is stripped of the title? What implications does that have on the show and on Elimination Chamber and heading into Mania? It kind of opens those doors where it's, well, suddenly Elimination Chamber matters. Because it's, well, we have to decide who the WWE champion is. Or WrestleMania matters, and they do a tournament up to WrestleMania to determine who the contenders are for the belt, and you could have it end up being Rock or Cena.
Right.
And or Cena, you know, or you can do whoever you want. That opens so many more doors.
It does, and it would, adding consequences and like and such, it would adds a different element to wrestling that we don't see.
Right. It adds that level of realism that I think at least WWE desperately needs.
Yeah, it adds that realistic element to make it a real life situation and not just a television program in a fantasy world. Bring some realism. We all like the term realism. We all like when they do the real angles. This is another step in that direction.
Well, it's, if you want me to take this person as a real person, so take Alberto Del Rio, for example, okay? He goes to the Big Show's hotel. He beats the crap out of him, and he leaves him laying. People see him standing over Big Show's body. It's on camera, okay? We all saw it happen. There's millions of witnesses that see this, and nothing happens other than he gets suspended. Okay, fine, he gets suspended. But what happens if he gets arrested for it? Because again, the opposite side of this argument is you have kids watching this show. And I'm not saying you have to make it super ultra realistic. But a good way to teach kids a lesson and show them that this could be, you know, play real life situations is you get arrested or you get in trouble. And I know the suspension shows that he gets in trouble, but, you know, he damaged property. He beat up the Big Show. He purposely sought him out and caused physical bodily harm. What happened to him getting arrested?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just for me. I'd like to see those consequences come back, because when I started watching, those consequences were there.
Yeah, they were. There were consequences, and they mattered, and stuff like that.
It's like, you didn't screw with the commissioner at the time, or the GM, or whatever, because they have the ultimate authority, and it's, you did what they said regardless. And so, you know, they had the ultimate power other than the McMahons. The only person that could override them was Vince or Stephanie or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, I would like to see them go back to that. I'm not saying they have to go back to the Attitude Era, but I'm just saying I would like to see that kind of realism of consequences and authority come back to the company. Because I think, honestly, that's what they're kind of lacking. There's no real authority figure.
Exactly. There's, like, so let's take Brock Lesnar, for example. He just took out the chairman. Nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing happened. He gets put on Miz TV and he beats up Miz. And I know Brock's time is coming. I know, we all know what that's going to lead to. It's going to lead to a match with Hunter. But it's, you know, Vicky, and we saw what's going to happen is Vicky admits that she re-signed Brock Lesnar, which means Vicky's going to now get fired for the fact that Brock Lesnar came in, or she's at least going to get held responsible for the fact that Brock Lesnar has come in and he's beat up the chairman of the board. He's beat up The Miz and whoever else he runs through in that time.
Right.
Because it's, you signed an unstable superstar, you let him run amok, you didn't do anything. They're basically going to do, she's inept at her job and she's going to be gone, and then they're going to replace her with somebody else, which, fine, whatever.
Hashtag Stephanie McMahon in the Rack exclusive.
That'd be awesome.
That's our next tidbit in the scenario. So just keep the scenario, the tidbits coming along as we go through it week by week.
Right.
As we write the story for WWE and then they forget to tell it, but they sort of tell it on their television show every Monday night.
Just remember, end result, hashtag Heyman's taking over, hostile takeover. But yeah, it's, I understand that they have to have a good GM and a bad GM, mm-hmm. but I don't understand why they can't be effective either way.
Right. Booker tries, and then Booker's tried to be effective. It just, I don't know, something about him trying to be effective doesn't work for me. Because
Booker,
he backtracks on what he does at times.
I like Booker. It's just, it's really sometimes very, 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 very hard to buy him as a GM. And I don't know whether it's the way he talks, it's his mannerisms, what it is, but it's just, there's something.
You still see Booker T as Booker T.
Right, and they have him going out there and doing commentary and doing other things that you wouldn't necessarily see other GMs do.
Right, you don't see him, God, our chat room. You see Booker T.
Love you guys.
You see Booker T on Saturday Morning Slam doing commentary. It's like, you don't see Vicky Guerrero do that. You wouldn't see Mick Foley do that. It's I don't know. It just seemed weird.
Yeah, they've lost their way with, as far as the GMs go, because it's basically, okay, well, we have to have a BS authority figure, so we're going to have a BS authority figure, and they're really not going to matter. Well, if they're not going to matter, then don't have the authority figure. Either do it right or don't do it at all.
Let the authority actually matter. Give them give back the authority. Sort of like the last person to have real authority was Eric Bischoff.
Right.
So it's they need to get back to that, giving him full reign. Give someone a full reign. Give them the total complete control. You had Stephanie and Bischoff be the general manager, and they had full control, and they were able to do what they want, and were able to back it up. Since then, it hasn't been so much. Because it's
right.
Been more of a revolving door. Teddy Long was tag team match player, and that was about it.
Yeah, and I mean, you know what? And Teddy Long was somewhat effective. He was, at least in my opinion, better than Booker T in some ways.
Oh, he was better than Booker T, yes. I would agree.
And to be fair, Teddy was good for SmackDown because he, if you think about it, and we actually figured this out one night, SmackDown has had a better consistency with GMs than Raw has. Teddy Long was GM for quite a long time of SmackDown.
Yeah, for the majority, yeah, he was.
And if you really look at it, aside from the breaks where Vicky Guerrero took over, Teddy Long is, I think, one of the longest running GMs they had. Before they let him go, which made me very sad. And they put him as Booker's assistant, which he's really kind of sort of just eh. But
he's still getting a paycheck for doing nothing.
Oh, I know he is, but it's eh. I like Teddy Long, I do.
Yes, I agree. Holla holla player.
Holla holla player, tag team match. I lost my train of thought for a second. crap. But yeah, it's, I don't know, it's, and again, this is solely our opinion, WWE isn't going to listen to us, but I'd like them to go back, like you said, to the era of when it was Eric Bischoff and it was Stephanie McMahon. And the brand split had just happened. And they were fighting for superstars. And they were actually physically signing people to brands. Like, they were trying to persuade people to come over to Raw or to come over to SmackDown.
Yes. If they were Brock Lesnar or Triple H were the two big ones.
And Taker was a big one.
Was Taker a big one?
Taker was a big one because I remember they persuaded him, I think, to go, or she, Stephanie, I think, persuaded him to go over to SmackDown. I think, and that's how he ended up on SmackDown, was they persuaded him to go over.
Oh, right, because he was drafted to Raw by Ric Flair. That's right.
Right. And that's when he was feuding with Flair. And Stephanie convinced him to go over to SmackDown, and I think that's when he took the belt over to SmackDown.
No, he was never swayed over. He lost the belt to Hunter? I think.
Is Hunter or Brock?
No, he lost the belt to Hogan.
Oh, that's right.
And see, what happened was, he lost the belt to Hogan, and Hogan was a SmackDown guy, so he went over to SmackDown.
Right.
So that's how Taker went to SmackDown, I think. I think that's how they did it.
I think, but I don't remember. Yeah. But I know that, anyway, to get back to the original point, which was that you had the GMs physically signing people, persuading people to go over to the brand, persuading people to stay, having the ability to, really having the ultimate authority, where they could do as they please, they could fire people, they could hire people, they could do suspensions, fines, whatever. And I'm not saying necessarily that now they have that much authority, but to give them really just that weight.
Right. You don't need a Vince McMahon overseeing their authority. Let them have the ultimate say.
Right.
And we may start to get that with Vince McMahon recovering from replacement hip surgery.
Yeah, and that's my other argument is like, what the hell is the point of having a GM if Vince is going to come on there and override him anyway?
Well, now that he's hurt, we won't have to worry about that.
Oh, he'll do it from his hospital room.
He will tout it.
Yes, he can tout it. By the way, if you want to wish Vince McMahon well, you can tout him.
Yeah, the information's on WWE.com. I saw this last night. Oh, I dare someone to tout him.
To which I responded, touting Vince McMahon, that just sounds dirty.
Why do you think he loves it so much?
I don't want to know.
So, question of the nighttime?
Question of the nighttime, let's do something fun.
Alright. Wrestling-flavored ice creams. You have any?
No.
Alright. I'll throw out some ice creams to you afterwards. And then we'll match them with wrestlers. We have one for Cookie Puss. Hellfire and Brimcone.
That's a good one.
That's from Neil Kathan. Kane Kins gave us a few. If you smell what the Rock is, cookies and cream. Seasonal flavored. Limited time only. Feed Me S'mores for Ryback. Sexual Chocolate Chip, Mark Henry. Show Whopper Crunch, Shawn Michaels. Brocky Road. Cinella Bean. That's funny. That one's good. Nutter Butters for R-Truth and Lil Jimmy. Edge's Spearmint. Jack Swagger will be Star Spangled Sherbet.
That's a good one.
Tombstone Creamery. And Natalia would have to have non-lactose ice cream versions for those with dietary concerns and sensitive digestions. I thought of the Great White Milkshake.
Nice.
And that's the only one I really thought of. If you have any in general, please pass them by. I'm going to throw out some ice cream flavors, and we'll see what people can come up with really quickly. Cookies and cream. Anything for anyone? Anyone fit cookies and cream? How about strawberry ice cream? Anyone fit strawberry? Or a better question, what would be best for AJ?
I'm trying to think.
What would be perfect for AJ? It's because she needs something strange and out there.
Coffins and cream.
Coffins and cream. Okay, I like coffins and cream. Oh, that's good. So I'm just throwing these out there. You have, you know, we could do pecan ice cream. Ew, I don't know anyone who actually likes pecan ice cream, unless you do.
My mom does.
Your mom does. Mint chocolate chip.
AJ would have to be baseball nut ice cream. Third time in the night, folks. Third time in the night. Broke the producer.
Oh. Chat time it goes rainbow for their different personalities.
That or nutty cream cheese brownie ice cream. Nutty coconut ice cream.
Yeah, she would be something nutty.
Tamina Stuka could be premium churned, reduced fat, no sugar added, pineapple coconut ice cream.
Baskin Robbins has a gold medal ribbon ice cream. Hey, Kurt Angle, we found one for you.
Rock and Pop Swirl 3&B. Let's see what else.
What else could we...
Wild and Reckless Sherbert, the Shield. Love Potion 31, just because nobody's going to get the reference, Mark Henry. Or actually, no, better yet, Love Potion number 31, Mae Young.
Who would you give rum raisin ice cream to?
I don't know. It sounds nasty.
Yeah, it does. But rum, give it to some sort of beer drinker, maybe.
Actually, you know what? Love potion number 31, Kane. Think about it. He's had more chicks than anybody else. Except maybe the Godfather. But think about it.
Oh, Kane Kittens, that's a good one.
Oh, shit. Ow.
Nice follow-up, too. He goes, chubby hubby taker. Goes great with the McRib.
Broom-ching. let's see.
No, you don't have to leave for the corner for that one. That was good. Like that,
that
one.
That was a good one. Well done. Well played. Very well played.
You can move out of the corner a little bit. Move the stool away.
You don't have to block the bomb cellar.
You're good. You're good right now.
Omega's not here.
That we know of.
Here you go. Jamocha ice cream. Kofi Kingston. let's see.
What other ones could we possibly give out? All this ice cream talk is making me hungry for some ice cream.
Really?
Yeah. That's a downside to all this. So yeah. That's basically the question that I, unless we can think of anymore.
Oh, who makes all the weird flavors? Who is it?
Ben and Jerry, yes.
Hold on. Let's go to Ben and Jerry's.
We're going to Ben and Jerry's.
Flavors. Let's see. Our flavors.
Banana split.
You go for the most uncreative one possible.
It was the second one in there. So I'm throwing them out there.
Santino is cannoli.
Santino is cannoli. Okay.
Chocolate therapy. Dr. Shelby. Chuck Chubby is the Undertaker. Cherry Garcia. Lillian Garcia.
This one called Everything But The.
There's one called Caramel Sutra.
Rob Van Dam's Half-Baked Ice Cream.
Yep. Or Half-Baked. Take your pick.
Yeah.
Fish Food.
This one no one will get, but Imagine World World Peace. That's for Ron Artest. Caramel Sutra, the Karma Sutra. Karma.
What a cluster. WWE's last pay-per-view.
Late night snack.
McRibs.
Milk and cookies. Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa.
Milk and cookies, that's Kurt Angle.
Yeah, that's... Oh, it's true, it's true. Mud pie. The New York Super Fudge Chunk.
Zack Ryder. Dublin Mudslide! Sheamus!
There you go. Is,
Red Velvet Cake. Kane!
Blueberry Vanilla Graham for Superstar Billy Graham. Ha! They made a Liz Lemon ice cream. Ha! That's funny. Now I'm seeing some of the same ones over again.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's some, a little bit of a fun way to end the show tonight.
Yeah, so we couldn't think of anything. Like I said, this was a really... Cinema Buns, either Wade or Drew, as per Lindsay. Can't be both.
You know, Cinnamon Buns. Plural.
Is... You know, saying. Anyway, sorry about tonight. We had a really hard time booking the show. Hopefully next week there's more stuff to talk about.
Hey, Lindsay, we went 2.5 hours.
I know we went 2.5 hours, but it was a painful 2.5 hours.
There was no painful about it. It was great. So anything bugging you this week?
Yes. I know I have to yield to pedestrians. I have no problem doing that, but don't step out in front of my car. We're like 2 feet away from my bumper. Seriously, people. Especially if there's nobody behind me. Like, you could just, you know, wait 5 seconds for me to drive by. Especially if you're not in a crosswalk and you're just going to walk out randomly in the middle of the street. Just, you know, if you're going to play in traffic and you're not going to give me a chance to stop, don't look at me dirty when I honk at you and have a problem stopping. I'm also pissed because I went all to the trouble to prepare my presentation for tonight, and I didn't even get to give it.
Boo.
I have to do it Tuesday.
Boo.
So, yeah. What about you? Is anything bugging you?
So, to those elitist, snobby reporters out there, fuck you. This is where I say boycott a certain website that gives you a view on pro wrestling. You know, a Russell view. Boycott it. Thank you. Take that one, you former funky white boy. You can go fuck yourself.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Alright, well then, I think we have shit to plug, don't we?
I think I took enough shot right there.
Yeah, I think you did.
I didn't drop a name, but, you know, he knows who he is. Yeah. That's where I plug shit.
This is where you plug shit.
Saturday 9 p.m. ish. Hang on, pro wrestling on the website. But you didn't hear that from me. Midnight ish, it's CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks. In some ways, we talk about the weird and the wacky, the unusual. We talk about Rob Parks' trip to Monday Night Raw and other fun, exciting things. It's CB Radio, midnight ish. Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim, Omega, and Mace as they cover the week of pro wrestling. Monday night, me and Lindsay will bring you the Raw post show as we cover 3 hours of Monday Night Raw in about 50 minutes. Tuesday night's Cafe Wrestling Radio with Al Wojcik. On the program will be the innovator of violence, Tommy Dreamer. Wednesday night is just another goddamn Boston show with Jed Schaefer, Brian Bryce, Scott Barry, and Cheap Wood paneling. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network, Facebook.com/WTRTheRack, WTRProductions.net, CanadianAllPro.com. If you're going to the show, say hi, because Tim would like to meet you. If you're in the Calgary area, go see Hotshot Johnny Devine take on Kamikaze. There's a video on CanadianAllPro.com of Kamikaze doing a weird promo, so you want to check it out. Tickets are very cheap, so go there and have a fun time. If not, join us here on WildTalkRadio.com as we'll be streaming the show live for every single person who wants to come and watch it.
You good? Take a deep breath.
I'm good. I'm just making sure and running down the checklist that I cover. Yeah, I covered everything.
All right. Well, you can, of course, follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LinsWard. You can go to my DeviantArt, linsward.deviantart.com. Check out my official portfolio. Of course, go to psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. I make pretty websites and artwork. By the way, one of my pieces just went up on the official Game of Thrones blog. Win. And, of course, go to CassidyRaley.net. Updates will come soon as homework stops getting in the way. So check that out. He's got some shows coming up, and I will get those dates up ASAP. But in the meantime, go to his merch page, buy his stuff. He would greatly appreciate it, as would I. Of course, listen to the show every week and listen to all the fine programming on this network because we work very hard. And so for Mace, who sadly had to leave us, and for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward, and you've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com and MimLanePromo.com. And by the way, somebody get me the hell off LinkedIn. See ya!
Mommy took a bus trip, now she got a bust out. Everybody ride her, just like a bus route. Hail Mary to the city, you're a virgin. And Jesus can't save you, life starts when the church in. Came here for school, graduated to the highlight. Ball players, rap stars, addicted to the limelight. Empty and May got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient. Hey.